For our visitors, our speaker this morning is Pastor Henry Mahan from the 13th Street Baptist Church in Ashland, Kentucky. Needs no introduction to this congregation, dear man. We're glad to have him. Thank you for coming. We comfort you.
I want you to open your Bibles this morning to the book of Psalms, Psalm 91. The title of my message today is The Believer's Legacy. The Believer's Legacy. That means the believer's inheritance, eternal inheritance. Paul, speaking to the elders at the church of Ephesus, said to them, in closing his final message to these people, he said, "And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance, a portion, an eternal inheritance among them which are sanctified." Now, for many years, I have quoted Richard Baxter's popular statement. He said one time, "I preach as one who may never preach again. I preach as a dying man to dying men." And that has been to me sort of a watchword, because I believe that. I've always believed it since God revealed his grace to me. I preach as one who may never preach again. Who knows what tomorrow holds? And I preach as a dying man to dying men. But that has become more than a watchword or a saying. It's become a reality to me because of my age and various things, you know, that this is sunset years for some of us. And we're glad. Swift to its close ebbs out life's little day. Earth's joys grow dim and its glories fade away. Change and decay in all around me I see, but O thou that changest not, abide with me. Isaac Watts once wrote these words, Time, like an ever-rolling stream, bears all its sons away. And they die. Forgotten as a dream, closes life's little day." And that's it. And I'm going to preach to you this morning on that legacy, on that inheritance in Psalm 91, God willing. Psalm 91. Now, some people believe that Moses wrote this psalm. You notice its author is not recorded. But in Psalm 90, just before Psalm 91, we have a prayer of Moses, the man of God. So we believe Moses not only wrote Psalm 90, but he wrote Psalm 91. But it matters little. Like the pastor was saying a few moments ago, It's not man's word, it's God's word. So it matters little whether David wrote this psalm or whether Moses wrote this psalm. We know about whom it is written. It's about our Lord Jesus Christ. And this psalm is not only about our Lord Jesus Christ, but this psalm is about His people, His legacy, His inheritance. We are His inheritance. That's right. And this psalm is written about the promises to these people. Oh, the rich and precious promises of our Lord. And this psalm is written about the victory and the deliverance which is theirs in Christ Jesus. And this psalm is written about His constant care and His constant concern for those people. So let's look at it in Psalm 91, verse 1. He that dwelleth, didn't say He goes in and out, He dwells there. He dwells there. It's a habitation, it's a home. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Where is this that we dwell? The secret place. It's a word for His eternal presence, His abiding presence. We dwell in His presence. We dwell in the secret place. Why is it called a secret place? Because it's not known or experienced by everybody. Everybody doesn't dwell there. His people dwell there. Turn to Psalm 27 and listen to this verse here. Psalm 27, verse 4 and 5. The secret place. The Lord's presence. Psalm 27, verse 4. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. For in time of trouble He shall hide me in His pavilion, in the secret of His tabernacle, in the secret place, in the secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me and set me on a rock. Look at Psalm 31. What are we talking about? We're talking about His presence, the secret place, the place that's known only to His loved ones. In Psalm 31, verse 19, listen to this. Oh, how great is Thy goodness, which Thou hast laid up for them that fear Thee, which Thou hast wrought for them that trust in Thee before the sons of men. That's who we're talking about. Look at the next verse. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of Thy presence from the pride of man. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. Aren't you glad? He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. The secret place. It's called within the veil. And the next line in verse 1 says, Psalm 91, He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty, under His wings. What a refuge in sorrow. There shall I hide and be kept by His power under His wings. That's right. Under His wings. David said, keep me, Lord, as the apple of Thine eye. Hide me under the shadow of Thy wings. In Psalm 52, he said, for in the shadow of Thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be all overpast. Oh, the glory of His presence. Oh, the riches of His presence. Oh, the security of it. Turn to Psalm 139. Psalm 139, verse 1. Listen. In Psalm 139, verse 1, Oh, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sittings and my uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. Thou compassest my path by lying down, art acquainted with all my ways. There's not a word in my tongue, but, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before and laid your hand on me. Oh, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It's too high. I can't attain unto it. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide forever and forever in the shadow of the Almighty. And you know, in verses 1 and 2, we have a question here. I have a question. Who is our refuge? Who is this one who is our eternal refuge? Well, he gives us four words here in the first two verses. It identifies him by four names. Listen to it. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. That's who he is, the Most High. Our God is the Most High. Read on. He shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Who is our God? The Most High and the Almighty God. None can stay his hand or say unto him, What doest thou? Is anything too hard for God? He's the Almighty. Read on. I will say of the Lord. Who is this? The Lord Jehovah, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord my Savior, the Lord my Messiah. He's my Lord. He's my Lord. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Read on. He's my refuge and my fortress, and he's my God. I like those four. The Most High, the Almighty, the Lord Jesus Christ, my God. My God. That's what Thomas said, my Lord and my God. My God. And in him, I'll trust. Nobody else. I'll trust in him. Always and ever, I'll trust in him. Well, what do we say about him? It says in verse 2, he's my refuge. He's my refuge from the storm. And there'll be plenty of them, won't there? But he's my refuge. And then it says, he's my fortress, my defense against all enemies. All enemies. He's my fortress. And he's my trust. He's my trust and he's my assurance. I want to show you a verse in Psalm 32. Rather, Isaiah 32. Isaiah 32. Listen to this. Talking about our refuge. He's my refuge. The Lord's my refuge. My refuge. My fortress. If you can say he's the Most High, he's the Almighty, he's my Lord, and he's my God, then he's your refuge too. He's your refuge. And look at Isaiah 32, verse 1. Isaiah 32, verse 1. Behold, a king, King of kings and Lord of lords, shall reign in righteousness. Princes shall rule in judgment, and a man shall be as a hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, and a river, the rivers of water in a dry place, and as a shadow of a great rock in a weary land. And, listen, the eyes of him that see him shall never be dim, and the ears of him them that hear him shall always hearken. My refuge. My refuge. a man, hiding place, a covert, rivers of water in a dry place, shadow of a great rock in a weary land, and the eyes that see him are ever permitted to look upon him. He that seeth the Son will never be dim. Never. And the one that hears his voice, he'll hearken. My sheep hear my voice. I give them eternal life, and then they'll never perish. Guaranteed. All right. Read on. Now, the next several verses, I'm going to group them together a little bit. Let's read. He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowlers, from the noisome pestilence. He'll cover you with his feathers. Under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be my shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. And 1,000 shall fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand. It shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Now these verses express the believer's confidence in the total care of his Lord. His confidence in the total care of his Lord. Peter said, cast all of your care, all of these things we've been reading about, you just cast them on him. You take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Cast all your care upon him, for he cares for you. He cares for you. The pastor Wednesday night talked about the shalls and the wills of God's word. Don't you love the shalls of God's word? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall not. The wills and the shalls. Not maybe. Not perhaps. But they shall. He shall. That leper came to our Lord and said, Lord, if you will, you can make me whole. He said, I will. Be thou whole. I shall. I will. That's right. All right. Let's look at these now. Verse 3. He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler. Who is that? I'll tell you who that is. The snare of the fowler is to be delivered from the snare, the trap of the fowler. He's the one who snares foolish birds. Foolish fowls. He delivers me from the snare, from the trap, from the net of the fowler. He's the one who roareth, goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. That's right. He's the one, according to the scriptures, that seeks to devour God's people. And so he'll deliver you from that snare of the fowler. Old foolish bird that's caught in the trap and never to be released. But he'll deliver us. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and rulers and spiritual wickedness and high places. But he'll deliver us from the one that traps the foolish bird. And then he goes on, he said, and from the north some pestilence. The pestilence. I read one time about that great plague that took place in London years ago. And there was a man who lived there. He was a very prominent man. He was a believer, a Christian man. But a very prominent man. His name was Lord Cravens. And that epidemic, that great plague and epidemic has swept down on the city of London. And Lord Cravens, he prepared to leave London. He had a home out in the country. He lived in the Craven Building in London, but he decided to leave there because of the plague, because of the epidemic. And so he began to prepare and to pack and move to the country. And one of his servants said to another servant, as they were attack him, the Lord's and his people's and his family's possessions. And one of the servants said to another servant, he said, "Well, I suppose that our master is leaving London to avoid the plague." "Yes," the other said, "that's true." He said, "Well, his God must live in the country and not in the city." And this believer, this Lord Craven, heard that man and heard that comment. And he said, "No, sir, my God does not live only in the country. He lives in the city. And my God will keep me wherever I am, and I will be staying right here with my friends. He'll deliver you from the snare, and he'll deliver you from the noisome pestilence." That's right. "A thousand shall fall at thy side and not come nigh thee." Listen to verse 4. "He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust." You know, somebody said one time, comparing God to a mother hen, why, that would be bordering on blasphemy to compare God with a mother hen if it were not God himself who compared it. If it were not God himself who inspired it. Because God himself says over and over again, "Under his wings shalt thou trust. And his truth shall be thy shield and buckler." What's a shield? Anybody knows what a shield is. It's a big shield that put in front of a fellow to keep other people from harming him. A shield can be any size, mostly a big thing, shield. But this here says, "He's my shield, but he's my buckler." Now, we don't know much about that, but I'll tell you what a buckler is. It's a small shield that's held with a hand on the elbow, and it moves in different places. It protects the soldier or protects the one who would bring harm against him. So he's my shield who protects me at all times, but he's my buckler in special situations when he brings the buckler to keep me from being harmed. His shield is my defense and my buckler against all enemies at all times in any situation. And verse 5 says, "Thou shalt not be afraid of the terrors by night." I often tell young people, nothing good happens after midnight. I wish all of our young people would get off the streets. I'm moving her down to about 10 o'clock now. That's right. Nothing good happens after midnight. Nothing. I read in the Roanoke paper the other day about a man who's 1,275 arrests for drunken driving in a certain length of time. And when does he stop them? Between 10 o'clock and 2 o'clock. That's when it is. But you don't need to be afraid. I don't recommend that people impose on the mercy of God or the wisdom of God. But when you are exposed, He'll shield you. He'll guide you. During the night, turn to Psalm 139. Listen to this. Psalm 139. "Don't be afraid of the dark. Don't be afraid of the terrors by night or the arrows that fly by day. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. He'll keep you." And listen to Psalm 139, verse 8. "If I ascend into heaven, he is there. If I make my bed in hell, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me. Thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, well, the darkness will cover me, Even the night will be light about me. The darkness hideth not from thee. The light shineth as the day, and the darkness and the light are both alike to him. He keeps you. Because you dwell in the secret place. You dwell in his presence. You're under his wings. You're under his care. That's right. Don't be afraid of the pestilence. Verse 6, nor the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand. It won't come nigh you. Only with your eyes shall you see. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, the Almighty, the Lord God, thy habitation. And thou shalt, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. What is this saying here in these two verses, four or five verses? It's saying what God said to Job in Job 1. Turn to Job chapter 1. This is what the Lord's saying. He has hedged us about. The Lord God has literally hedged his people about with his protective care. Look at Job chapter 1, verse 6. You got it? Job 1, verse 6. Listen. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said to Satan, whence comest thou? He's that fowler that traps those foolish birds. That's who he is. Then Satan answered the Lord, from going to and fro in the earth and walking up and down among it. The Lord said to Satan, have you set your heart on my servant Job? Have you considered my servant Job? There's none like him in the earth. He's a perfect, upright man, one who fears God and hates evil. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear you for nothing? Have you not made a hedge about him? A wall about him? About his house? About all that he hath on every side? Have you not blessed the work of his hands, his substance? His substance increased in life. God, Lord said, I've hedged old Job about. Him and his family. And then Satan began to try Job. And he said, well, you've hedged him about, but you reach out now and touch what he has, and he'll curse you to your face. The Lord said, all right, he's in your hands, but don't you kill him. You see, when this psalm, we dwell in his presence, under his care, under his protection, always, in the secret of his pavilion. But when God is pleased, according to his will, for his own purpose, for our good, and for the accomplishment of his glory, and for the furtherance of his gospel, he'll try his people. But he won't be very far away from the trial, from the fire that tries them. That's right. That's right. That's right. So that's what we're saying here. He hedges us about and keeps us and protects us always and all times, unless for his glory and our good and the furtherance of his gospel and the accomplishment of his purpose, he puts us through the trials. That's right. Through the fire and through the trials. That's right. But there's no trial you'll ever have to endure that's not ordained of God and for your good and His glory. That's right. Or one that you can't, by His grace, endure. That's right. He'll not suffer you to be tried any further than when it's necessary or when it's needful or when... He said, that's enough. All right. Let's look at verse 11. And it says here, for He shall give His angels charge over you, keep you in all you. He'll give His angels charge. The angels of God, and we talk about in the Scriptures, a guardian angel, the angel that appeared before the little ones, the father's face to protect the little ones, His angels. That's right. He'll give His angels. His angels have received a commission from their Lord to watch carefully over the interest of His elect. All of them. The angels have a charge to keep us in all our ways. That's right. All our ways. Let me show you that in Psalm 34. Psalm 34. Psalm 34, verse 7. Listen to this. Psalm 34, verse 7, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear Him, and He'll deliver them. Who does? The angel of the Lord. And the angels are called, in Hebrews, the Lord's ministering heirs, who sent to minister to the heirs of salvation. The Lord's ministering servants and spirits who are sent to minister to those who shall be the heirs of salvation. You take somebody here tonight or this morning that has never come to know Christ. Well, if you're one of His elect, He's already given His angels charge over you. That's right. That's right. He's already given His angels commission to bring Him home. Bring Him home. That's what the Ethiopian eunuch was doing out there in the wilderness. He sent the angel of the Lord to bring the eunuch home. Bring him home. And this, I love this right here. He shall give His angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways, and they shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Did you go barefooted when you was a child? We didn't wear shoes at all, except in the wintertime and the church. But I went barefooted, and I had a lot of stump toes. I mean, a lot of them. Did you ever have a stump toe? Oh my goodness alive! It's awful. It bleeds a lot, and I cried a lot. But I had a good mama and daddy that would pick me up and pour turpentine on it. That's the old thing. If turpentine took care of everything, you know. Just pour turpentine on that busted toe, and my mother would take me up in her arms, and it'd be all right. And that's where it says here, they'll bear thee up in their hands, lest you stump your toe. And you're going to do that a whole lot of times. But you're not deserted, you're not forsaken. He bears you up in His arms when you get a stump toe. But now, wait a minute, look at the next verse. A stump toe's a lot different from this. Thou shalt tread on the lion. I never have messed around with lions. Now, stump toes I know a lot about, but not lions. And the adder, that's a poison snake. And the young lion seeking his prey. And the dragon, what am I going to do about them? He's going to trample them under his feet. He'll give His angels charge over you to lift you up, lest you stump your toe. But when it comes to all of these enemies of God, and enemies, your enemies, and enemies of Satan, He'll trample them under His feet. That's right.
you deal with him in the way only God can deal with him. That's right, he'll trample them. That's right. You tread on the lion and the ladder and the adder and the young lion, the dragon stamp under your feet. All right. Because, verse 14, because. My friends, there's always a because. Always a because in law and grace. Always a because. Because Adam's sin fell. Because we sin, we die. That's a because. Because Christ died, I live. That's a because. And because he has set his love upon me. Because, verse 14. Because he has set his love upon me, I will. I will. All right, I'm going to close with the sevenfold legacy. Here it is. Because he has set his love upon me, my love upon him, both. He loved me and I love him because he loves me. That's right. Both ways. All right. Therefore, I will deliver him. He need not fear the penalty, power, reign of death and sin. I found a ransom. I'll deliver him. I will set him on high. Where is that? See you with Christ in the heavens. That's about as high as you can get in. That's as high as exaltation can be exalted. Because, listen, he knows my name. It's a because. And because. I'll deliver him and I'll set him on high because he knows my name. I know his name and he knows my name. That's right. Read on. Third, he shall call upon me and I'll answer him. The believer will feel the need to pray. And he'll be led to pray aright. And he'll be heard. Think about that. I found it in my heart, this prophet said, pray for you. You quoted the other night about Saul of Tarsus. Behold, he's praying. You better run down and ski battle down there and help that boy. He's praying. But I found it in my heart to pray. And I found it in my heart to pray aright. Not my will. This was last Wednesday. But thy will be done. That's praying aright. And God will answer. God doesn't answer everything we pop off about. I'm glad he doesn't. I'm sure glad he doesn't. Just like they do in court, you know, just in the race sad. But pray aright. I'll answer him. All right. Fourthly. And I'll be with him in trouble. He'll have trouble. He said, tribulation. What is the scripture now? I can't remember. John 16:33. Tribulation, sorrows, but I'll be with him. I'll be with him. All right. And I'll deliver him and I'll honor him. Our Lord said, if any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there will my servant be. And if any man serve me, him will our Father, will my Father honor. I'll honor him. I'll honor him. I promise you, if any man serve me, him will my Father honor. And here's our legacy, number six. With long life will I satisfy. And that's not, I'll soon be 77. That's not very long. I thought about Hannah graduating from high school 12 years ago. That was yesterday, wasn't it? Wasn't it yesterday? Yesterday when we went to his kindergarten and visited her. And her, that's just, no, go sir. It goes so fast, don't it? So that's not long life. I hadn't been here very long. I just look like it. But I hadn't been here very long. It's been a short one. It's been, had an end. It's been a short one. But he's going to give us a long life. I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and forever and forever. And listen, this is all I need to say. I'm going to show him my salvation. I'm going to show it to him. And I'll tell you this, like the pastor talked this morning, like he and I were talking on the phone just a week ago about a message he was preparing to preach on the necessity of preaching the gospel. That's the only way you're going to hear the gospel, is to hear the word of God preached. That's right. And I'm going to show him my salvation. I'm going to show him my salvation by the word. Believer's legacy. All right. The Lord bless you. Thank you, Pastor.
Let's turn to number 10. Hymn number 10. Gabe, you'll come up, please. Leave this. Hymn number 10, a message that was written, or a song written with Psalm 91 in mind, written by Isaac Watts, one of the great old writers. Let's stand and sing number 10.
Let's sing the first, second, and last verses, okay? First, second, and last verses.